This is Melanin.
And I'm Belief Mel.
And we're here with episode 164 of How Married Are You?
Okay, my name is Belief, this is Yvette, and we've been married
12 years.
Live in California, we got
four kids.
Relationships scary, it's very necessary. We share our love of struggles. We ask
How married are you?
Every Tuesday and Thursday, shawty. If you're listening, you're in the wedding party. It's okay if you want to put your hands up. You got the questions, we got the answers.
It's chocolate baby story time.
Chocolate baby story time.
It's chocolate baby story time.
One, two, three, and...
It's chocolate baby story time.
Man, I can't wait to put out this video. Y'all probably see it right now if you are following me on Instagram, but I took Anaya to... Little Mermaid world premiere for my birthday. And I'm going to tell you this. I don't think these kids understand how good they got it. Because we saw Halle Bailey and Anaya was looking at her and she was like, I was like, oh my gosh, now how do you feel? She was like, I'm in heaven. And she just was so excited, but at the same time, like, you know, it just was, it was weird because I was like, yo, I felt so underdressed because we just wore like jeans and you know what I'm saying? And everybody had on gowns like they were going to the Met Gala. And I was like, oh my gosh, we're so underdressed. And I was like, dang, we probably should have dressed up for this night. And she was like, yeah, you should have bought me a dress. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. But yeah, she was right. It was a big deal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was really fun. What you got?
I have a story time that also has to do with Anaya. Because Glenn and Anaya were out so late last night, I let Anaya sleep in a little bit this morning before waking her up. Actually, she woke up on her own to take her to school and everything. And so we're driving. Our old nanny who had a baby comes and hangs out with Uzi. And today, this morning, Anaya's not usually there when she gets there. But this morning, Anaya was there. And you could tell she just misses Lexi. And she just wants, you know, baby time with Delaney and all the things. And it's super cute. Well, we're driving. I had to stop and get myself some coffee or whatever. And Anaya says to me, I wrote it down, quote, because we were in the drive-thru line. I was like, I am going to write this down. She goes, Mom, I'm glad I have a mom like you, but I wish I had Lexi as my mom.
Wow.
And I think you remember when I used to babysit a specific little girl and we grew like a really sweet bond or whatever. And she said something like that to me. I hope she never said it to her mom. But Anaya said that, and I just let it sit for a minute. And then the more we drove, I was like, Anaya, can I tell you something? And I was like, what you just said kind of hurt my feelings. And you could tell, like, she was like, what? And I was like, yeah. I know you didn't mean to hurt my feelings. I know you just really miss Lexi. But I felt like I should let you know that, like, my feelings are a little bit hurt. And I said, it would kind of be like me saying, hey, Anaya, I'm glad I have you for my daughter, but I wish Delaney were my daughter. Mm. And I was like, how does that make you feel? And she's like, it was like she was unbothered by it. Mm-hmm. And she didn't really, oh, my glasses are probably ready. She didn't really want to take accountability for, like, what she said. She didn't apologize. It was nothing. And it was a moment, and I'm bringing this up. I said I wanted to go second because I want you to comfort me right now. And maybe I'm comforting myself, but I feel like there was a moment. In that moment, I was kind of like, I cannot rely on these children to affirm me in my motherhood to make me feel like I'm doing a good job as a mom.
Yeah.
I feel like that at some point has to become the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And I do believe that the fruit of my labor speaks for itself in them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because I was like, dang, you a whack.
Yeah, man, kids, I mean, it sucks that that's our reality, mm-hmm. because it's like they just won't get it until later. And mm-hmm. we, it's certain things about our parents that we yeah. just didn't get until later.
Until now.
You know, yeah. like we get it now. Mm-hmm. You're doing a great job. You know that.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that I always know that.
You don't know that you're doing a great job?
You know, like when she said that, I remember, okay, so I took myself back, right, mm-hmm. to when that little girl said that to me. Mm-hmm. And when she said it to me, I was like, man, this mom needs to be spending more time with her child. And yada, 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 yada. And then Anaya said it to me, to my face. And I was like, man, the audacity, you yeah. know what I mean? And so, and I think the difference too, it's kind of like when you said what you said just a moment ago, when you were like, these kids don't know how good they got it. I really don't believe that they do. You know, and I don't know if that's, it's not necessarily a fault to them. It's just a reality of what it is. Because when we think about the childhood that we grew up in and what our parents had to do in order to provide and how much they were around or not around or how much time I'm spending with my children versus how much time my parents spent with me, you know, it's just like, you really don't know.
Yeah, but it's...
And even some other parents, like... You know what I mean?
No.
Like, Anaya is with me a majority of the week, mm-hmm. right? And so when you think about other little girls her age who are in kindergarten, and, or let's just even say first grade, I don't know. And let's say they go to school, you know, 8 to 3. Mm-hmm. And then they go to the after school program. And then their parents pick them up at 5. And then there's bedtime at 7.
Yeah, the majority of...
They've spent 2 hours in a full day. Like, you know what I mean? And I hope that doesn't make anyone who's listening who may have that lifestyle, like, feel bad. But it's just sometimes we don't really know how blessed we are. And I think perspective is everything. And sometimes we don't always have it.
I'm so sorry. I was trying to look up our
podcast. Why don't you just mute the...
Yeah.
Yeah. And so...
What was that last line you said? Y'all kids don't know how good they have it? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I just feel like everything needs to be put into perspective. Because even, I can't go there, but.
Well, here's the thing. Yeah. So, just a couple things. So, Anaya, I mean, you stopped working and left
when your... When she was born.
And Lexi stopped working when the lady was born.
Her daughter was born.
Right, so it's like... It's the literally the same thing, right? And so I remember when I had to have like Theo pulled me to the side yeah. and sat me down at 5 years old. And he was like, you spend too much time working. You don't spend enough time with your children. You used to play with us. You don't play with us anymore. I'm like, yeah, bro. Like, sorry. This is yeah. what it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, someone has to work now. Like, yeah. someone has to work. And I still play with you and I still do a lot of things, but someone has to work. You know what I'm saying? And I have to work. And so,
and you make it possible for me to be present with our kids.
Right.
I'm sorry.
What?
I feel like there's another interaction that I had this morning that put a few things into perspective about how like people only have their scope of mm-hmm. what's going on. And that's where they can respond from. And I feel like sometimes I'm like one of those people in your life who are like, you're not here. You know, yada, yada, yada. And I feel like I do, I owe you an apology because your absence makes my presence possible. And I know.
Well, let's stay focused. Let's stay focused here. Let's not go there.
I know.
Okay. Because that's not what we're talking about.
Yeah. Right?
We're talking about Anaya and what she doesn't understand. And I don't even think it was a slight at you. It just was, you know.
She misses Lexi.
Yeah, but it's just like, so I put it to you like this. Like, when Theo sees our friends with their family, they're always together. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, like, the male people in our lives mm-hmm. are with their children every time Theo sees them. So mm-hmm. his perception is that
they're always around,
and I'm not always around. Mm-hmm. So I can live with that. Mm-hmm. I can live with that. And that's what I'm realizing that, like, I am okay disappointing them because they don't have an understanding of what is happening. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I'm truly in a place where I'm like, no, you have got it misconstrued, and I'm okay with you being, you know, misinformed. Mm. You know what I'm saying? That's,
yeah,
it's okay with you. That's okay for you to be misinformed. Right now, you don't have enough information to make decisions. One day you will have enough information. You'll make the right decision. But that's it's everything, man. It's all about perspective. And that's why I'm very slow to judge people. Mm. I can't judge people because I'm like, yo, you literally, I've never been in your shoes before.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Now, if I'm in your shoes and I know you could do better, it's totally different. Mm-hmm. But like, I've never even understood how to be my own son. So even telling, like, criticizing them so much,
yeah,
like certain stuff is kind of like, bro, if you don't go put deodorant on, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's not hard. Mm-hmm. It's a list right there. Mm-hmm. Figure it out. Read the list. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Read the list one by one. Do you need glasses? Is the text not big enough? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm like, that's my issue right now. So mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, maybe you need, you know, a little bit more help understanding certain things. But certain things, it's like, yeah, I don't want to be in the video, Dad. I didn't have to be on video all the time when I was a kid.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's a different lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't judge yourself based on your child's happiness. They will always want more and more and more. And that's why I'd be like, yo, protect your life, Yvette. Because I'm like, yo, you be trying to give them the world and they don't even know what the world is. It's just regular for them. Mm-hmm. And just like last night, I was like, bro, you know how tired I was driving back? I had to slap myself, roll down the window. She started waking up. Like, I was so tired on the way back home. And I just was like, all for what? The Little Mermaid? You know what I'm saying? Like, it was a great experience. Not gonna lie. I love world premieres. I love going to premieres. The fact that I even go to premieres is crazy. Mm-hmm. So I know how fortunate this is. I'm like, yo, I'm right next to Jackie Aina and freaking the Love is Blind winners next to me, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, yo, this is crazy. And Anaya's like, I need a nap. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, they're just not the greatest of confidants. Like,
and I think, too, it may even, hopefully, I hope it's more so of an age thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, maybe as they get older, they'll understand the opportunities that they've been given and appreciate them more. Because I think their understanding or their capacity to understand it may not fully be there at 6, 8, and 10, and 3 years
and
old.
And 14 and 18. But when they turn 25,
yeah.
Ooh. And what would you do in this situation, Dad? If I was going to do the girl, right? Like, I already know it's coming. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to be like. And I watch my dad watch me father. Mm. And you could just tell inside he is dying. Mm-hmm. Like, he is laughing his butt off. Mm-hmm. You know, that one day he came to the house to watch the kids and Raya threw up everywhere. And then the dog had an ear infection. Oh, and then the cops came, was around the corner, and it was the ghetto bird was outside. And he was like, he was like, man, if I'm so glad I'm not here all the time.
Oh, my
that's
God.
What it seemed like. But, yeah, that's real. Okay.
Okay. So, I sent Glenn this clip the other day, and I wanted to bring it up here because I feel like it's a it's a really good conversation to have.
The hot topic.
Oh my gosh, I want to watch this. I hope they show it to me again. Oops.
Oh, whose wedding is that? That's Simone Biles' wedding. Yeah, man. Congratulations to Simone Biles and her husband.
Yes. Okay, so this is a conversation between, I don't even know, but it's with, I don't even know how to say that girl's name, Iyanla Van Zandt. Is that how you say it? I don't know. Uh-huh. But I'll play a clip of it. I'll play the clip so you guys can see.
Everybody knows what we're talking about. If you don't know what we're talking about, we're going to play a little bit of a clip. But if you know, fast forward.
Okay. Know that you've said that you cannot teach a man or tell a man how to be a man. So I will not ask you to indict men in this question. But I do want you to speak, Iyanla, to how women need to, position ourselves so that we can be in our divinity, so we can have our crowns right, how we can create and not build, when some of us, quite frankly, feel that the men that are available to us, and I'm talking about across the color spectrum, across the age spectrum, trust me, I've done them all, they are not positioned to protect nor provide because of some of the statistics we just talked about. They're not earning the incomes. They're not having the resources, and some of them are not even showing up in the leadership.
Would you date a bus driver? You. Would you date
a bus driver? If he owns the bus. If he owns it. If he owns the bus.
See, that's a problem. That's a problem. That's a problem. Okay. Because the standards and requisites, and I'm not talking about him laying on his sofa playing video games all day. I'm not talking about that. But the standards and the criteria that we use to measure men is off for who we are as women and who they are in this society. I would date a bus driver if he loved driving the bus, if he was a man of integrity, if he was good to his mama, if he treated me well, I would date a bus driver.
Yeah, and so...
You guys are probably not new to this conversation.
It's going viral or something?
It's been viral. It's like 2 weeks old, but we late. But check us out. Let's see what we can come up with. Huh? Go ahead, babe.
Yeah, so I just brought it up because I found it interesting because we just finished the Love is Blind season 4 season.
Yeah. And
so
that was stressful. I'm going to tell you that we had never watched this before. Love is Blind.
Yeah, I started season 1, I think.
And she fast forward.
And then I skipped, like, I got to episode 5 and then I skipped all the way to the end because I was like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, the secondhand embarrassment from some of those clips, like, you know, and I'm not going to put anybody's name out there because I don't want to judge nobody, but it is hard to watch.
Yeah, it is.
So anyway, go ahead, babe.
And so we had just finished watching Love is Blind and then I saw this, you know, a couple days later and... It got me thinking, like, in that experiment, because the question that Love is Blind is asking is love really blind? And those people got to sit and have conversations day after day for hours at a time with each other and really get to know each other. And I think they're not supposed to disclose certain things about, like, what they look like or their ethnic background. I don't know. I don't know actually how much of that is.
I think it's
really,
up to the person.
Is it up to the person?
Yeah.
But some of those things are supposed to be kind of kept to themselves. And I was wondering, because they do share about their careers, I was wondering, like, if they were not allowed to tell what they do for a living, how that would impact the decision at the end. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, what if Glenn and I are having this really deep connection? My soul's connected to his soul and all things. And then he proposes or I propose to him. And then it comes time to unveil each other. And then it's like, hey, I'm a McDonald's employee or like I drive a bus or, you know.
I'm loving it. That's what I would say. Well, you're also talking to two people whose fathers are both bus drivers.
Yeah.
Both of our fathers. And they worked together for years.
For years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if we've ever shared that on the podcast. Yeah,
So this story hits a little close to home.
It does.
I remember watching my dad get ready for work.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, this dude had it down. All the bus drivers in the area, they were all like really fly dudes. Mm-hmm. Like all of them. Was all, first of all, you know what I'm saying? This is going to seem petty because this is a standard in the black community, but I ain't never seen an ashy bus driver. One of my dad's homies. They was always lotioned up.
I don't know about my father.
All in the gym, all like, you know, clean cut, shining their boots, tucking in their shirt. Like my dad would wake up 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, because they had early shifts.
You know what I'm saying? Had it all tucked in. You know what I'm saying? Had his gear on. He looked fly, right? And he got it out the mud. Like, he started from the bottom. And so when I was growing up, my mom was like, if you're not going to go to college, you need to get a trade. Like, you need to figure out something to do with your hands. And my dad didn't go to college, but I do feel like he had the trade as, you know, as a bus driver for 19 years. Right? And so Go ahead. You were talking.
And so my point is, like, does that impact, like, me saying yes or you saying yes to the proposal? And Glenn, like, when I sent him this clip, he was like, but what did you say? You said something about the woman. Say it in your own words.
I don't know what I said.
You were like, you know, I have a problem with this because, you know how you do, because if you were to reverse it.
Yeah.
And it was.
It was about the woman's profession. Yeah. Men don't care what women do for work.
Yeah.
We do not care.
Do you think that's true?
I mean,
I don't know if that's true for all men. I think that might be too much of a general statement.
I'm going to be honest with you. I think I'm hitting it on the head here. Gentlemen, in the comment section below, am I tripping? Do men care about what women do for work? It's if you meet somebody and they say they work at a morgue, are you less interested? Are you less interested? Let's be honest. Now, I'm talking about, like, as far as looks are concerned, she's at the top. As far as her communication is concerned, you're having the greatest time ever. And you're like, yo, you work in a morgue? That is so interesting. What are your hours? When are you available again? Now, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that. I know that's probably the extreme version. That's probably like right on. I'm like, man, I can't do that. But like, I don't know if men really care.
And you know, and I'm thinking back.
You want to take a poll real quick with the guys? We bring them in here?
Okay, sure.
Okay.
But I'm also like thinking back because, you know, when I married you, you were a after school tutor.
I was a bum. I was probably two clicks from being homeless.
I saved you.
I would say that.
Yeah. What?
I would say that. What? I mean, I got a job again right when we got married.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then when we got together, I was at a tutor.
V. Oh, wait, what?
I was a tutor. And then I started working at the V again because it wasn't cutting it.
You did?
Yeah. And then we got married and then I stopped working at the V and I became an after school person. And yeah. I was in school.
Mm-hmm.
And then I became a caregiver.
Yeah, but my thing is when I brought Glenn around, people were concerned about the fact that he didn't have a college education, et cetera, et cetera. And for me, I'm just like, it didn't matter. Because I saw who he was as a man. I wasn't thinking necessarily about his career. I do think there came a point in time, especially as he started to pursue being a rapper, that I was like, yikes, yo.
Oh, my God. Oh, you like... have a dream? You got bars, do you? Wow. Okay. So when we got together, I didn't have any money coming in. Why is this so important? And I think I understand it's because women want security,
mm-hmm.
right? And, mm-hmm. and men are supposed to provide it. Come on in. I just want to ask a general question. You don't have to step into the camera. I just want to have everyone answer this question real quick. Is Brandon still here? Perfect.
I want to see faces.
And Jed. Yeah, perfect. Yeah.
I can't see your face.
I'm going to turn the camera this way. I'm going to turn the mic this way. All right, real quick. I want you guys to all answer this question. I want you guys all to answer this question one by one. Okay. Take your wives out of this situation, your fiancés. You're single. Look at Brandon. Look suspicious.
I'm not single.
All right, listen. Just pretend for a moment that this is during the era of when you were single. Okay?
I ain't trying to remember those days.
Huh?
I'm not trying to remember those days.
Marcel, okay. Come in frame. I can't see.
Okay, real quick. This is not going to get you in trouble. I promise. This is a very simple question. Look at them all scared. You know they're in relationships. Look. Does it matter what a woman does for her profession if everything else checks off on the list? Would you have still dated your wife, whether or, you know, someone in that time frame, if like she did something and she wasn't making a lot of money or it wasn't a job that you respected or something like not respected, but
it wasn't a job that necessarily made a ton of money.
Ton of money.
But bus drivers make good money.
No. So just like. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Salary, no. The job, yes. Because it might be a job that could be questionable or go something against I personally believe in.
Okay.
But if it was like just salary, no, it's not important. But if it's like, if I'm like a dog lover and she's like, oh yeah, like I'm in pet control, like, oh, that would really like bother me. Or like something like against my own moral like standing.
Okay, okay.
But that's what I would say.
Okay, cool. That's a good answer. Good answer. Cheat sheet for everybody.
He should have gone last.
Yeah, yeah. We should have. Come on, Brandon, you next.
I agree with that. I mean, okay.
Go ahead.
As long as she wasn't doing something ratchet, you know, I'm cool. Okay. I mean, I wasn't really checking her bank account. Right. I was like, we got along, we connected. She hit the things I valued, and I was like, let's make it happen.
Okay. Okay. Don't leave yet. Go ahead, Montel.
Yeah, I'll say the job, when it would be important. It's not like you can't be on OnlyFans if everything else checks out. But say like you're a trash dumpster, was it garbage man, and you're a woman, that's all good. And also, where they're at now may not be where they're going to stay. Mm. So are you willing to grow with them through the job process?
Right, right. Mm. This is the one I've been waiting for.
I agree for her.
Go ahead.
I agree from the standpoint of a moral, you know, like what Jed said. But in terms of like when you're dating and you're finding out what your core beliefs are as a couple and you're building that through the dating process, I think whether it comes down to if the man is going to provide or whatever, it doesn't really matter what her occupation is. You just determine, you know, what your core value is and, you know, where the money is going to come from, and you support each other through that. Mm. So, you know.
Okay, now, I'm not asking about your actual person that you're with, mm-hmm. your significant other. Did it matter during your dating season what you did for a living?
Huh?
During your dating season, when you were meeting people, did it matter what you did for a living? Did it matter how much money you make? Just say yes or no in the mic.
The girls you date, do you guys understand this question?
Yeah. Did it matter to the women what we did?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I think from the standpoint of just not being a deadbeat and living with your parents and not making any money at all, you know, you have to provide something. You know, you can't just, you know, be a regular person or whatever. But
okay, cool. Hold on real quick.
I have a question.
Hold on real quick. Go ahead.
I mean, I think my wife liked that I was driven. I had a purpose. I felt like I can make things happen. I was like, I was going to make it work. So mm-hmm. I think she felt comfortable with that. Like, I was going to make it work.
It's so funny. Because
good married answer.
Just to affirm what Brandon said, I've talked to his wife. Uh-huh. And how she talks about it is very aligned with what he just said. Mm-hmm. You know, it was very faith-based, faith-driven decision.
Gotta have a lot of faith. Montel?
Brandon's not Catholic. I think, yes, because women will place, like, can they trust you to lead a family and for their security based on what you're doing or at least what your drive is to do something while you're dating.
Okay. Jed?
Mind you, Jed's engaged.
Yeah.
I am engaged. Yeah, I think it's like part of it was it's what made you somewhat interesting in your job. Like your job can provide like experience and things that can make you more interesting in general. Because if you're just like working like a regular retail job, it's not super interesting. And like you also see that drive. Mm. So it's like I don't think it's so much a reflection of what you do for a living. It's a reflection of your personality. So like if you have a certain job and you need like a certain drive to do it, like it shows an insight to what it is.
Okay.
It's just like if you're working retail and you're like, yeah, it's good. But you're like, well, I'm in retail to learn the business, to do this, to do the next step of something. Mm-hmm. Then that's like a little bit different.
Okay.
But it is, I think it's for sure part of it.
Okay. Cool. Now, mind you, during... go ahead.
I kind of want to ask one more question.
Okay.
Would you, when you were dating, did you care? Like, was it an expectation of yours that you would be the sole, like the provider? Like you would be the
breadwinner.
Like, is that an expectation that you had? Y'all can answer from where you're at. Just.
Yeah. I was saying,
Okay. Cool. Now, what James just said, I was actually that guy. living with my parents, barely not making any money. So just because it starts one way, that doesn't mean it has to end that way. Okay. Thanks, guys. Amen. Appreciate it, guys.
I still have so many, like, questions.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe we should have another session where we just all ask a bunch of questions later. Jordan would have been the best person to ask.
And I think it's great that we can ask him without everybody else's answers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so I have a question.
Okay.
Oh, I lost it. Because, oh, I know what my question was going to be. Here's the thing. So I recently had a conversation with somebody who has a job. It's not necessarily a glamorous job or anything like that, but it's a job. They love working for the company that they work for. They enjoy the people that they work with, and they have benefits, right? But it's not anything that they're passionate about. What if they work the 7 to 3, 8 to 5, 9, whatever the hours are, job, right? But the life they live outside is amazing. They go on hikes, they travel, they have fun, they're enjoying life.
I think
outside of the job, because I think sometimes people become a slave to what they do that they don't actually get to live.
So just so we're clear on this, like I can't really judge this woman for her comment about bus drivers.
Really?
This is why.
I'm not necessarily, I don't know if I'm judging her, but go ahead.
This is why I can't really judge her, right?
Ooh.
Right? This is why I can't judge her. You hear my voice?
Yes. No,
I
keep what was it. That?
Right? So I think what the question is, like, what do you do for a living is saying so much about what you're willing to do to provide for what you need. And if you don't do everything possible to make as much money as possible, right? Are you just have like very low needs, or do you just not desire to work hard, right? Like what you do, because like it's a lot about my job that I do, that I have currently, like what we're doing for a living right now. I don't like all of it. There's some things I have to do just because I have to do it. So the question isn't necessarily what do you do for the living? It's like, what are you willing to do? You know what I'm saying? What are you willing to do to make it happen for yourself or for the people around you? That's I'm cutting her a little slack on that just because I don't necessarily believe that it's her prerogative. You know what
most
I'm saying?
Most definitely. And I'm not necessarily slighting her or judging her. I was just bringing up the conversation because I don't know. I just feel like there's been this social construct of what life is supposed to be and what it's supposed to look like as far as who the man in the relationship is, what he does, how he provides. And I think that there is a level of provision that a husband or a man in the relationship is supposed to have as far as providing safety in both emotional, physical, spiritual ways, and leading our family in the right direction. And I feel like those things are possible as a bus driver, as a retail worker, as whatever. And I'm naming professions and I'm not trying to offend anybody, but I'm just saying, like, you don't have to be this, like, a partner at a law firm in order to be, like, you know what I'm saying? It's like we're giving status to the type of man someone is based on their occupation. But some of those men should be knocked off the pedestal because they're trash. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. I hear what you're saying. I do believe that, you know, I just feel like there's so much to be said about, oh, man, it's just difficult, babe. It's not easy because things change, right? So I heard some other people in the comments, I saw some comments that's kind of like, yeah, I'm tired of building with men. I need to find someone who has it all together already. Or who has it. But it's kind of like, you're going to build anyway. And what's to say you're not the one that needs to be built? You know what I mean? Like, just because you're educated and you have a, you know, good paycheck and you can have resources, That doesn't mean you have good work ethic or you're smart or accountable.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I know people in my life who have said, like, yeah, I'm not doing that. I'm not trying to, I need someone who has it kind of all the way together and da da da. I'm not going to waste my time and put, you know what I'm saying? But it's kind of like, yo, you need help,
mm-hmm.
period. Not like, the benefit is not just you guys come together and it's like everything's perfect and now you guys build on top of that. You're going to have to take a deficit out of the foundation anyway because you have to rework the foundation and the structure.
Mm-hmm.
So before you guys can build on top of anything, you have to break down. Like everything starts from broken.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like to really build something, you're going to have to break the foundation
mm-hmm.
because you may have a great relationship with your family. And you meet this perfect person who's kind of like, yeah, I don't really want to do all that. I'm not really trying to get together on Sunday dinners and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then, well, it's about my family. Well, what about my family? You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Like, there's certain things you're going to have to die to in order to be with someone.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that is just what you believe about very simple things, right? Now, like work. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's better to be with someone who enjoys their job.
Yeah.
Than to be with someone who has to be there.
Amen.
And hates every moment of it.
Hallelujah.
I stand on that.
Amen.
I don't it's harder to love. It's harder to love through that.
Yeah.
Yvette dealt with that.
Yes.
For a long time.
It's rough.
Yeah.
Yeah. That in and of itself should be something that is spoken on. I'm glad you brought that up because for so many years, I don't know, maybe even just a year, but for a while, I would come home. And like, you know, teaching is not necessarily all glitz and glam.
It's
but
a labor of love.
It is definitely a labor of love, but it's a labor that I'm willing to put in because I enjoyed those kids. I enjoyed the people, most of the people I work with and all the things. And when I'd come home and I wanted to debrief about my day and then you ask your husband about his day. And he literally said these words to me. He's like, please don't ask me about my day ever again. Like, You basically said, don't ask me. Stop asking me.
Yeah. I don't want to think about it.
That is so disheartening. So disheartening to hear. Because it's like that is a huge chunk of your time spent. And I mean, there's so many other things we could talk about or find to talk about. But it was like, I want to know what's going on there. Tell me. I want to know all the things. What happened? What was the cafeteria drama? You know, all the things.
Ain't no cafeteria drama. I sat there in a cubicle. I was typing.
Mm.
Right. And then I called somebody and was like, hey, you need new Lansing devices for your diabetes? No. You need more Lansing device? Like, it just, I worked at a call center.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there and everyone's kind of like, get your calls up. Yay. They were trying to do this team building thing. And I'm kind of like, oh, you know me, I'm defiant. I'm like, for what? Like, what are we talking about here?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? This is a freaking, and then you got, it's so much drama. And then you literally walk in there and you just got a pile of papers and you got to push through them.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't like, it was so sad for mm-hmm. me. You know what I'm saying? And I just felt so weak and distraught. And I literally would just be sitting there like, I don't have enough low lives in my life anymore. Like, no, I don't have enough like people who just would do anything just to be loyal.
I don't understand what you mean.
Like I used to hang around some grimy people. You just do whatever.
Like drug dealers and prostitute people?
What? First of all drug dealers aren't grimy. All prostitutes are grimy. I'm talking about worse than that. I'm just talking about people who were just like, yo, they just was up to no good.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. We're not going to shame nobody.
We are not.
But I would say I don't have enough low lives in my family, in my life to call in a bomb threat on this building so I could get up out of here.
Yeah, he was.
I hated this job so much. I was like, if I could just get 2 hours.
Oh, that was such a rough season. Lord Jesus.
I was, every day I would be like, man, who do I know, man? Like, who do I know that would do that?
Yeah.
And would they get caught?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I know, because this is like full Christian. Like, church every Sunday, mm-hmm. Bible study. And I was just like, I hate this job so much.
Mm-hmm.
But that was just me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could not conform to that. And. Yeah. I don't even remember how much money I was making, but it was like all these incentives and I didn't want to do anything,
mm-hmm.
you know? But I think when she says, yo, would you, if he owns the bus, like at this point, she's at a certain status to mm-hmm. where she doesn't want to date any old regular person. You know what I'm saying? But sometimes when you find someone who is very simple to please and like has a simple life, it makes being a part of your world easier.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If you have True. Someone that's just kind of like, yo, yeah, I go to work, I come home, and then I'm available to rub your feet.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that mm-hmm. is a privilege, you know? But if you want someone who's grinding and trying to make it, he's not going to have no time for you. Mm. Or he's not going to have enough, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Did we even say anything?
I don't know. I guess the question is love truly blind? And I don't necessarily think it is. Maybe like a truer version of love is, but I do believe that even when from the example, I mean, we watched season 4, but from that experiment in the relationships that were supposed to like end in marriage, I think eventually you find out loving blind. Like, we all have things that we want, and I don't even know if need is necessarily, actually need might be one.
But here's another thing, man. Like, babe, like, when you have money, you're able to have a clearer mind on other things because you're not mm-hmm. stressing out about. Mm-hmm. So I understand what she's saying. You know what I mean? And I don't know if the question is love blind, because everyone has their things that they think is going to make them the best person that they can be, you know? Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think for some people, they have a lot of prerequisites. You know,
mm-hmm.
I was watching someone talk about, he was given like this graft of like, you know, what's the benefit of having kids and what's not. Mm. Right. And they said they were like, you know, during like your 20s and 30s, right, in 40s, like you're so happy you didn't have kids. And you're looking at the people who are 20 and 30 and they're like, man, you suck. You're a loser. You have no time. You can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you turn 50, you're kind of like, wait. I have all this life and I have no one to share it with.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? 60, you're like, dang, like I'm really regretting not having kids. You know what I'm saying? Because all my friends have children and they have families and da 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 da. But not a lot of us even make it to 60.
Mm.
So, yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
But I think it's the same thing with relationships. Like, it gets harder later on when all your friends are booed up.
Yeah.
And you're hanging around with people 20 years younger than you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. It's interesting.
All right.
I don't know. There's so much that I feel like I could say, but I feel like this has been a very long podcast and we can close it. So,
okay, cool.
How married are you?
I'm so married that you were sick and I went to go get you ginger ale and saltine crackers. Why are you, is that okay? I saw your eye twitch. Like,
it twitched?
Yeah, like that wasn't good enough.
Maybe that's fine.
Yeah, and last minute you were like, can you take Uzi? And I was like, oh. And me and Uzi went,
because I knew that if you took Uzi, you'd come to the office because that's really where you were going.
No, but I just had to do one thing.
I know, and you'd come back.
That was a setup?
Well, it was twofold. It was like, well, if he takes a child, he might not stay there as long. And then second of all, Uzi will be the one that bothers me. And I really can't have a child bothering me while I'm feeling this way. Y'all, I had vertigo this weekend. It was intense. It was very intense.
Yeah, that was tough. It was tough to watch you go through that. How married are you?
I'm still married that on Thursday. Sorry, I give dates. I'm so married that the other night I was coming home. I was spending time with some women and I was driving the truck and I got in the truck and the fuel was low, like low. And you had enough miles, because you know how it says miles to empty. You had enough miles for me to get home and you to get to a gas station in the morning. But I said, you know what? I don't want him to have to worry about that in the morning. So I filled up the tank.
Oh, wow.
Did you even notice?
No. I had no idea.
You probably didn't even know you were on E.
I didn't.
You'd be running on E literally and figuratively.
Damn.
I love you. Sorry.
That was shots fired at the end of the podcast.
And that's just how married we are.